Welcome to KNEO Radio Podcast. KNEO Radio AM and FM radio podcast covering the heart of Texas and the Northwest Hill Country, including McCullough, Mason, Menard, Concho, San Saba, and portions of Brown and Llano counties. KNEO Radio is your podcast to hear interviews with special guests, local news, events, agriculture, and community affairs. For more KNEO podcast, visit KNEOradio.com. KNEO Radio Podcast, making a difference.
My childhood in Trinidad and Tobago, and then we ended up in El Paso, went to Baylor University, St. Mary's Law School, and I married a girl from San Angelo, so that probably explains how I ended up back in San Angelo. I've been there for 28 years. I'm a lawyer. I practice law. I've practiced all over this district, tried many cases here in McCullough County over the years, and served on the San Angelo City Council in 2006, 2010, and since then have been sitting back, you know, quietly paying for my kids to go to college. That's done. And so now we're on to the next adventure, which is this one.
Okay, the next adventure. That's an interesting way to put it, that's for sure. So what led you to, you obviously have some experience in being in public office,
sure.
The City Council there mm-hmm. in San Angelo. You served as mayor for a time.
Yes.
So what prompted you to decide that this was the time when you wanted to run for Congress? Obviously, that was going to be an open seat. That
sure
made a difference.
Yeah, it made a huge difference. Just a sense for a long time that our representation has been more focused on what Washington politicians and pundits want to talk about rather than things that matter to the people out here in District 11. Things like, you know, especially the crisis in rural health care that we have. We've lost 27 rural hospitals in Texas over the last 10 years. And just affordable health care issues like that. And then also just wanting to do something, seeking to return some sort of semblance of focus on the common folk and just getting back to common sense government and common decency.
Well, that's a tall order.
Yes, it is a tall order.
It's a tall order.
It's not something that you can do by yourself, that's for sure, but no. You have to start somewhere.
And so how's the campaign going so far?
It's going very well. It's been interesting. I would have never anticipated being in the middle of a pandemic while trying to run a political campaign. But it's been, I think our message is well received across the district, and we're focusing on local issues and local matters. Like I said, affordable health care, you know, education, roads, infrastructure, housing, things of that nature. I think those are the things that people really are interested in.
Are there specific things that you're looking to see that you'd love to be there and be a member of Congress and try to get changed? Want to improve, change?
Yes, and that's really, you know, the most important issue I think we have, the most fundamental issue we have is just changing Congress in general. It is no longer functioning. It's, as we can see, what's going on in Washington right now. And I think there's a lot of systemic changes. There's a group called the Problem Solvers Caucus in Washington that is a group, it's a bipartisan group working to make changes to how Congress functions, and also and to bring back more of a bipartisan governing environment and culture to Congress. And really like to see that. There's a lot of things they have on their table, a lot of ideas. If you haven't looked at it, you can go to the Problem Solvers Caucus website and explains that. But there's a lot of changes that I think need to take place there, just in the structure of it and how we get things done.
The specific issues and related to rural health, you mentioned that.
Yes, yeah. Rural health has been our biggest issue, and it's the one I hear about the most.
Right.
The pandemic has really brought that home because you have had the crisis. You know, you have rural hospitals that are, you know, struggling to survive, and then all of a sudden they can't even perform some of the medical services that they would have made money at. The reimbursements through Medicare, failure to expand Medicaid, on all these financial issues, most of our hospitals are just operating essentially on shoestrings. And then there's also the challenge that goes with that. Rural broadband is a huge issue. And that we've known that for years. People have been trying to talk about it, but not much has happened. And we saw that with the pandemic. Telehealth was a great way, particularly for rural areas, you know, to get the health care they need in a time of pandemic. But if you don't have rural broadband capacity where you live, that doesn't do you much good. So, and there's a lot of those sorts of issues that we're really focused on across the district.
The these are basically, you know, things that really sort of, I think, would be that touch the folks at home.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yeah, and the big problem with rural broadband is it's that last mile connection. You know, if you live in town, you might be okay, but even in town, you don't have as much broadband access as you should. If you live out, you know, in Pontotoc or Voca or somewhere out that way, it's going to be a little much more difficult for you to get there. And I think we've also seen that with education with the pandemic. You know, rural broadband at Iterdet is a public utility essentially now. It's essential to everything we do.
You feel like it should be more regulated?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it needs to be expanded. I view it as, you know, it's hard for us to imagine now, but not that long ago, there were huge swaths of our country where there was no electricity. But because of the spirit of America, you know, we expand that with co-ops, things of that nature. I think there are solutions. It's going to take some federal money and federal leadership, but I think the state has a huge part to play in that. And in fact, I noticed there were a number of legislators who sent a letter to Governor Abbott for this next session talking about the state had already started making some improvements in allowing some changes to be made to help the process. But I think there's still a lot to do.
Are there other issues, other areas where you are particularly interested? You know, if you were had your choice and you went to Congress, what committees would you be looking to try to be
well,
on?
Well, I think energy and agriculture are the two obvious ones for our district. Oil and gas and renewable energy is such a huge important. I was passing all the new wind turbines as I was coming in here this morning, and that's a huge issue. One of the things, the most immediate issues that a lot of people in the district do not know about is the fact that there is a plan right now to bring highly radioactive nuclear waste to the district through the district by rail and to store it in the district. That's something that we're opposed to, and it's something that not very many people know about. But it impacts the entire district from that level, and so I would like to see that stopped. And I can go into more detail on that, but it's a long, long story.
But the basic gist of it, as I understand, is, you know, it's the idea of bringing nuclear waste to be stored here in West Texas someplace.
Yes, that's correct. Well, the location that they have is in Andrews, Texas.
Okay.
And it has the transport of it will be coming by rail through Dallas-Fort Worth, all through the district, through Abilene, Midland, Odessa. The oil and gas industry is opposed to it. The Permian Basin Petroleum Association is opposed to it because of the risk of terrorism. And then also it makes the Permian Basin a bigger target for terrorism. An accident would impact hundreds of thousands of people within a 50-mile radius immediately. Plus, there's the danger of other leakage and other accidents and fallout. So it's just something that we've really been working on with the folks in the Permian Basin. If you're interested in it, you know, you can go to protectthebasin.org. It's a website with a local group that's been fighting this. And we're hoping as we move through this process that we can at least get that stopped and have the country go back and start looking, coming up with a permanent national solution for it.
The well, it's a big challenge to run for Congress.
Yes, it is.
It's
a lot different than running for city council. I tell you that much.
Well, that's certainly true. You know, was there anybody else in the primary besides you?
No, I was unopposed
in the
Democratic primary.
Well, the Republicans had a plethora.
They did. They had quite a sea of candidates.
It's a good word for it. And so you're going to be meeting Mr. Pfluger. Is there a Libertarian?
There is a Libertarian candidate. Okay. His name is Wasey Alpha Cody. And he's from San Angelo as well.
That's right. And I thought he was a Republican.
I believe he announced as a Republican early on, and then he switched to the Libertarian Party.
Okay. Well, that gets him on the ballot.
That's right.
So it's just going to be the three of you on the ballot.
That's correct.
That's all. No write-ins yet.
No, not that I'm aware of.
And I think it would be a good time to remind folks that the deadline for registering to vote is coming up fast.
It is October the 5th. It is just about 2 weeks away from now.
Yeah, 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yep.
And the other, the next deadline after that is early voting starts.
Early voting starts on October the 13th and runs through October the 30th.
And that's going to be a very interesting time. The whole thing is a very interesting time.
It's a very interesting somebody said, isn't that a Chinese curse? May you live in interesting times.
That's exactly right. We're there. That's for sure. How do you, you're like all the rest of us. You look at what's going on in Washington. You have more than a passing interest in it these days because of your running for Congress. How do you look at what's happening with the country right now?
It just really saddens me. The country, and that's, I think, the real question is, you know, there was a country that I grew up in and that all of us did, if you're older than a certain age, and that country doesn't really seem to exist to me anymore. And I was thinking about this the other day, talking with a group. I said, my daughter is 25 years old. I don't think she remembers a time in which people actually worked together to try to accomplish anything. Since she was born, this is all she's known, and I think that's really sad. And we have to address that in this country, and the tone and the tenor and the ugliness of our politics.
Yeah, it seems to me that the difference is, and I'm sort of in the same category you are. Things, it's not the same country.
No, it's not.
And it seems the difference used to be that you had the two political parties, and they had common interest, a common goal, a common goal, but different ideas about how to get there.
Yep.
Doesn't seem to be that quite that way anymore.
No, there's very different, at least in the media or on the public, the two far edges of each of our parties are the ones that you hear about. What you don't hear about, and what I'm interested in, is the vast majority. There's 435 people in Congress. You hear about three or four of them, and the vast majority of them are in the middle, and they're the ones that really get things done. It's the centrists and the moderates of both parties, and what we really have to get to is electing both Democrats and Republicans who have that heart and the desire to govern. It's, campaigning's fun because you can be ugly and insult each other, but the real hard work is governing, and that's where that doesn't work so well.
It's true. It's very true. Well, it is an interesting time, so I want to give you an opportunity. Anything other else you want to talk about?
No, forget to register to vote between now and October the 5th. It has to be in the mail by October the 5th. And you can go to your elections administrator's office. And don't forget, early voting is October 13th through the 30th, and election day is November 3rd. And this year they're expecting a huge, huge increase in turnout because of the presidential election. So you really should make a plan as to how you're going to vote and when you're going to vote to make sure you're not, and with the COVID and everything else, to make sure you're okay.
For sort of along those lines, here there are, as of this month, there are 16,617,436 Texans registered to vote.
Yes.
And they expect that to go beyond that, but not reach 17 million by
There's been an increase of, I don't even remember the number, I saw it yesterday, but by many millions of registered voters in the state of Texas, and those efforts are still going on.
Yeah, that's true. There were 16,211,000 registered for the March primary. That grew to 16,350,000 for the runoff, and now we're at 16,600,000, just getting ready for the general, which certainly brings them out more than any other thing. It's sort of interesting to see the number of people. And the problem is, and it's always a regret, is you look at 16 million who are registered to vote. Mm-hmm. When the election day is over, it'll probably be less than half of that.
Well, and our district is notoriously a low voter turnout district. True. It's probably one of the lowest in the country. One of the things that I attribute that to is just that we've lost the competition of ideas, and we need to have, we need to have good candidates running in both parties, and we need to have good and fresh ideas brought forward and discussed, and we just haven't had that in a long time.
Well, you're obviously trying to make that
We're trying to make
that
make a difference.
Yeah. You're going about about it's the district with 11 counties in the district?
29. Yeah, it's over 28,000.
It's District 11. Miles. That's my
yep.
29 counties.
Yes.
You been to all of them?
I've been to all of them. Actually, I've practiced law in almost all of them.
That's a good point. Yeah, it gives you a leg up there.
Yeah, a little bit.
We appreciate you coming being with us.
Thank you very much.
And good luck on the campaign. Anybody who runs has our admiration because it takes courage to do that. Put yourself out there and say, I want to run. I have an idea. And,
Well, I appreciate
hope
that.
You trust me.
I really enjoy it. I enjoy getting out and meeting new people and talking about things that are important to them. And so it's really a pleasure.
Where do you go from here?
I'm heading over to Mason. And we'll be on the radio over in Mason at noon, and then we'll be going around meeting folks, and we've got a little meet and greet get together there at the park if it's not raining, from 5 to 6 there in Mason. So
very good. All right. Folks can meet you.
Nice
come
to meet
you.
All right.
Good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
John Mark Hogg, the Democratic candidate for U.S. Representative for District 11 in this great state of Texas. We'll be back with more here on the morning program in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.